Well, that was good timing.
Blog Talk Radio.
Huh? Journey Man here on Psychic X Journey Man Spiritually. Welcome to the show, and how are you? If you're like wondering about the chat room, I haven't pulled it up yet. But for the rest of you guys, if you want to call and get a reading, call 646-721-9031. Let's see. I was looking at something real quick. Let's see. I don't know what I want to do. I'll play a song real quick. Get an idea what the show's all about if you just now tuned in. So listen to this. We'll be right back. Well, we'll try it again. I would hate when I put a question. everybody. How's it going? It's Psychic X Journey Man here on Psychic X Journey Man Spiritual Link. Welcome to the show. And if you got any hot topics you want to bring to the show, feel free to do so. If you have any calls or answers, if you want to ask any questions in the chat room, please do so. Okay, we do questions in the chat room, but if you want to get a reading, you need to call into the show at 646-721-9031. If you want to sit here and take advantage of situations and doing a private reading, or maybe you have a situation that's a little bit private, take it private. For private readings, give me a call at 740-500-8863 or contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. It's really easy. All you have to do is have any kind of card. PayPal account would be great. Make it easier for you. And if you don't, we accept all credit cards and everything else that goes along with it. If you want to get a chance to come by and do a personal reading, you're in the Colorado Springs area, give me a call. Make an appointment if you like at the 740-500-8863 number, or just drop by at 946 and a half Manitou Avenue in Manitou Springs, Colorado. And we'd glad to sit down and work with you. We do at the shop. We do private readings on palm readings, angel card readings, past life readings, and relationship readings. The angel card readings go for 30, past life 35, relationship 35, palm readings only 10, unless you're a child under 12. Sometimes if you look under like you're under 12, well, go ahead and do it for $5. Okay, if you want to take advantage of all those services at the same time, or the same visit, they're only $75 for all those. That's a heck of a savings for you. So give it a shot. Come on by. Say hi. So let's get on with the show. Welcome, everybody. So like I said before, if you want to ask a couple questions in the chat room, please do so. If you want to get a full reading, we'd rather have you come on the show as call in. Okay, if you want to call in, just call 646-721-9031. If you're a person who likes to, are looking for something that could actually give you more intense focus and concentration and the idea of relaxing enough to do meditations, try going to HemiSync CDs, which is at www.hemi, I think it's hyphen, dash, no, that's what I'm just asking. I have no idea where I went. It was, I love people. I'm just not. You know, sometimes it's amazing how people get so impatient with the idea of somebody not charging a dime. And when they are getting paid, or getting charged, they have a tendency to sit there for hours. Huh. The idea was summed up before my friend Nicole was on the show this morning, on the idea of people and their respect. And the idea of the psychic stuff, and the idea of respecting someone when they say, leave me alone, or you're in my space, you're in my energy. Nicole, for example, she had a situation where she had two guys that she had told them that she was doing readings, and they sit right down there and just sit there. And they claim to be great readers. And Nicole was like, hey, what should I do in a situation like this? I said, well, tell them to get the F away. First of all, for those, she's already told them. They're not listening. They're not respecting her. And they claim to be great. They claim to be great readers, right? And I'm sitting there going, if you're such great readers, then you should really be picking up on the hostility right now of what I'm exerting right now towards you. But you're not. So the idea of being great readers, questionable. And I don't work with questionable people. So could you go away? You know, you look at the situation, people say, I'd be kind of mean. But honestly, with the situation, it's their actions that you have to put yourself in a situation. What can you do? Especially when it comes to the idea of working and making a living. And these two people in particular are not respecting that. First and foremost, they have a tendency to take advantage of people in the process of the work they do. If you have a tendency to go and they say, well, I'll drive down to a metaphysical fair. These two guys, they go down, they work, they keep their money. They don't give her anything in compensation. She's driving an hour on the road. They can't give her anything. They don't even think about it. But they have no problem asking for the ride. So you know for a fact that somewhere in the line, they got to be thinking something, right? I think they do know. And they're going to sit there and say no. I don't have to ask her because she's not asking me anything. I realize in the idea of the one thing I've been taught the most is the idea of what you put out, you get back. And maybe the reason they're having such a hard time getting clients and money and stuff is because they're really not putting anything out there. Just enough to get by. So therefore, they attract a lifestyle. It does the same thing for them. Just gives them enough to step and to get by. So we do have a call in the queue. And if you're in the freaking chat room, we will get to you. You got to get in there first. See, now it's coming up. The co-host is hanging out in the freaking thing. See. All right, let's go for our first caller. I like, again, we always sit here and say, when you come on the show, you can ask anything you'd like. And plus, if you want to sit and work on your meditations, go to HemiSync or go to Amazon. Amazon has a lot of different MP3 downloads for meditations and spiritual stuff, work, subliminal meditations that you can actually work with. And the ideal, almost anything, become a better singer. Actually, become a singer, but it says. I've actually heard some people that wouldn't work. But they got meditations for learning languages. Spirituality has a lot of those things, working with your chakras, particular chakras, attracting love. Attracting, they actually have a certain specific ones, attracting relationships like men, women, for particular people. You know, if you're a man wanting a woman, have meditations for that, much as they do for women. Let's see, let's go to our first caller. That's area code 310. Welcome to the show, and how are you?
Hi, I'm hanging in there. My name is Alicia.
Alicia?
Yes.
310. I went blank because I keep seeing 301, which is Maryland. Where are you at?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Oh, Los Angeles. A place I will never go again. Anyway.
Yeah, it's a difficult place to tolerate.
So I stopped trying and I got away.
I'm trying to decide what I'm going to do, if I'm going to stay here or if I'm going to go back east. Because basically I lost my business, I lost my apartment, and I've been homeless for like 2 months. I moved in with someone, and it's the roommate situation is just not working out for me. This person did not have their part of the rent, and I had to pawn my laptop to make the rent, in which my laptop is my lifeline.
Oh, so what you're saying is you moved in with somebody who didn't have the rent for their own apartment?
Mm-hmm. I just want to know when I'll be able to get back on my own, or if I just need to figure out a way to leave L.A. and go back east. Or I'm like really confused because I'm like, I've worked hard to keep a roof over me and my son's head, and I am so confused on what I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the first thing that I keep hearing is you need to decide where you want to be. Because where you're at is reflecting a lot of indecisiveness because of your living arrangement, the people, and the situations, because you really feel like you've been on your own too long. So it's kind of hard to coexist in the same environment with somebody else because of their rules. And plus, it seems like the person you're living with has a bad, I want to say a bad drug problem. Anyway.
They have a bad cigarette problem, yes.
Yeah, it's a bad addiction because that's the one that can put you under the quickest, especially when they have a compulsive to smoke every 2 minutes.
You know, if I can get a job or get my business started back up, I'll stay here,
mm-hmm.
You know, and get my own. Like, I prepared for this job yesterday. I mean, I went above and beyond to prepare for this job, did this interview, nailed the interview, and they chose someone else. And I was just, it was just a slap in the face. And I was like, wow. And I know
that's
I
my
was,
problem, yeah. That's California
well,
for me.
Well,
I remember a couple of times I got passed over for it just because I didn't have enough cute ass. Anyway.
Yeah, you know, I was well qualified for the job, and then they're telling me, oh, we decided to go with someone else.
Or else they go with a relative or something. That's kind of a slap in the face.
Yeah.
Too. No qualifications required. We'll just hire a brother.
Yeah.
I used to do the same with Penn Music. I sang for a couple groups, and you were the best one here, but we went with my cousin.
Yeah.
I said, well, I guess you guys are not going to go very far because your business sense sucks. Anyway, I'm just saying, you got to look at the situation, corporations and stuff, but you got to look at yourself the same way, and you've got to ask yourself exactly where you're going to be at. What's more profitable for your corporation? Because it's almost like the ideal. You have a business. What's your business?
Basically, I had a mobile spa, and what I was thinking about doing is just working independently with my own little suite versus managing employees, because it was such a pain in the butt, you know, getting them to show up to appointments on time and stuff like that. But I know if I had a steady clientele myself, you know, I could manage my own schedule and, you know, make a very good living for people that afford me. And the main reason I came out to California is because of my son, because there's a particular doctor. He has a gastroenterologist, and he has Crohn's disease, and she has done so much to improve his health. And that was the main reason for coming out here. You know, instead of having my son constantly drugged up on multiple drugs on a daily basis, he's down to meds once a week. And my son loves it here. He doesn't want to go back to where we were from. He does not want to go back Atlanta. He does not want to go back near his dad. And I'm really trying to stay here for him because he wants to stay here. He wants to go to college here and everything.
How old is he?
He'll be 14 this month.
Okay, well, I'm just saying with the situation, you have to make the decision according to what you think is best for everyone concerned. You can put his little 2 cents in worth, but you still got to make the choice yourself. And I'm not recommending that you even go back to freaking Georgia. I'm saying that you got to go somewhere else. Where would it be more? And for some reason, I keep getting Colorado, especially when it comes to your son and the idea of healing and stuff as well. A lot of metaphysical stuff here in the prostate could help him out a lot. It's just a choice. I'm doing it, but I feel like also the situation, we have a lot of people go to college here, and we have a lot of people come here. I'm thinking, oh, I don't want to go there because it's cold and that kind of stuff, but for some reason, I think that Colorado has a healing effect on people, and they have a tendency, even when they do leave, they have a tendency to work their butts getting back here, never wanting to leave again.
I was thinking about moving more near the beach areas. Instead of staying like where I'm at now, I'm in this godforsaken place in the valley. I don't even know if it's a valley, and I am not feeling the energy here at all.
I mean the beaches at Santa Monica and that area, it's good. You have a little bit of prejudice with some people toward people who that are not like them, but a whole lot more openness, and the beaches are nice.
Yeah, I was thinking about being, you know, a little bit closer to there, or, you know, because back where I'm at now, it's just so, the energy is just so bad and so depressing, and I'm like, you know, I just want to, you know, I just want to be in my own space, do what I love.
Okay. All I was going to do was, Heather's here, too. I forgot to introduce her earlier, and I brought her on. So she's also has a lot of some insights on things, too, as well. So I was going to ask her what she thought about your situation from what she's heard so far. Go ahead, Heather.
I think that everything happens for a reason, and you have a clean slate. Of course you didn't get the job. That's not where you're supposed to be, honey. It's not a slap in the face. It's, oh, thank you, universe, for saving me from a horrible mistake. So don't ever, ever look at a job as though it's something that you wanted and you were just it wasn't given to you, because that's not where you were supposed to be. Otherwise, you would be there. You have to remember that. People flow into our lives and out of our lives because they're either meant to be there or they're not, and the same thing with jobs. You know, I did the same kind of thing. I went and applied for this wonderful job at a beautiful, beautiful place. And I'm very, very qualified to be there. And I didn't get the job. That's okay, because there's a different plan for me. And I have to be in tune to that. And that's what's going on with you.
I'm trying my best to be in tune. And I've had, you know, so many, you know, trying to be positive during this experience, and it's very difficult, you know. You know, I've been to a point where I've, you know, had a flourishing business, had a beautiful apartment, to where nothing, sleeping in my car, you know, getting injured.
How'd you get injured?
You know, basically, I was staying in a hotel, and I slipped and fell in the shower because the drain plate came up.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, you know, I had a guy come in my shop the other day who had a freaking injury of being in a car accident. He said, well, the other guy did this, this, and this, and this. And so they're going, well, accidents happen because of our own intentions, what we put out there, fears, whatever they are in the situation.
Yeah, and I know I was in a situation of fear. And I know, you know, I've created this existence, but I'm like, okay, I want to get out of this. I want to move forward. You know, I want a nice life back.
Yeah, you know, like I said before earlier, I think it's just the idea of making a decision and following through with it. And plus, I already think you already made the decision, and you just got to do it. What I was saying earlier, too, I understand your son wants a lot of things, but he's also at an age where he's going to do. I get the impression sometimes when you sit in a situation, you seem like he will have that same emotion and the same attraction no matter where you go at for right now. And then later on in life, it just gives him choices where he really wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the ideal of lifestyle you're talking about, I just get the impression that it came to me very quickly as saying, once you make up your mind and which direction you want to go into, they'll be back a lot quicker than you think. And I do feel like Georgia is not a choice.
Yeah, believe me, I do not want to go back to Georgia. I hate Georgia. I hate it. And, you know, people are asking me, why don't you go back home to Tennessee? And I'm like, no. You know, during this experience, I've had no family support. You know, it's just been me and my son. And, you know, my son's like, Mom, it's going to work out. We just need to just stick it out a little bit longer. And I'm like, I feel I'm doing what I'm supposed to do to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, am I doing something wrong? You know, I'm like, I've never been without being able to pay my bills or having, you know, I even had my car repoed, and I managed to get that car back. You know, I'm sitting in the car now because, you know, this is the only way I could get some peace of mind being in a studio apartment with this irresponsible person.
I'm like,
universe, I don't want to be here. I want my own place. I mean,
You know what I'm saying?
You know,
the universe is saying, pick a point. You know, pick it, go. But you have to make an intention, and you have to make a focus point. You also have to sit there and look at yourself, too, in the situation that caused everything to happen the way it did, because it seemed like there's a fine line there where you don't feel like you deserve it. It's something I feel like you've been taught when you were younger, and the idea of compromise and limitations, and you have to sit there and you got to settle, and it's like all the stuff that was happening to you really challenged your perception that you needed to also change a little bit more to keep going further and becoming more successful, more successful. So it's like people say, well, I made success. I don't think success is one of those things that ever stops continuing to expand as long as we keep expanding our perception and changing and realize we have no limit. We have no...
You know, I've been taught fear, limitations. I've been taught all of that from my mother. And I'm trying to break that cycle. I mean, I've gotten to the point that I've stopped talking to her because everything that came out of her mouth was negative. I mean,
that's true too, sweetie. But you have to distance yourself for a period of time, get yourself in a good place, and the next time you have a conversation with her, you can be an example to her to see that she's wrong. You can't tell her because she won't listen.
No.
But if you sit there and have a example, I mean, and it's a challenging thing because I remember when I first got my first shop and I made, my first week I made between $750 and $1,000 on what I just did with readings and stuff like that. So I'm, you know, kind of excited to talk to my mom, and I was excited, but I don't think I was ready to listen to someone's negative ass again and say, so, you sold your soul to the devil. I'm like, okay, thanks, Mom, for all that support. Really,
yeah, just like when I went out on my own and came out here, in less than a year, I set up my business. And she's like, oh boy.
We're not bashing Baptists or Christians or anything like that. I basically have a tendency to speak my mind about people I've worked with who thought they were.
Yeah.
There's a difference between the situation, you know. But we also sit and talk about that the other night too. What's the difference between religion and spirituality? And I always thought it's prejudice. And the more I think about it, it is, because Christians and people with religion have a tendency, when they see you, they see the worst. So they want to save you. Or they want to give you an idea or a concept that's going to save you, okay? And then they have the other thing. You know, spiritual people have a tendency to see the good in everyone. They want to love everyone, which we thought Christians did, but they don't. In some sense, we're the ones I've dealt with anyway. If you look at the situation of that whole thing, nobody can save you. Even God can't save you.
I have to save myself.
Yeah, it's the point. I mean, you sit and talk to Christians and say, hey, they'll tell you. They came to a point in a realization and said, hey, you know, I had to make a choice. And I did, and I accepted, you know, Jesus, and I accepted God. And most of them are going, oh, yeah, but listen to what you're saying. You're saying you made a choice. What? Now you're able to embrace something you've chosen instead of questioning all the time. But at the same time, I still see you question it because of what you see from me. You see the worst in me because you still see the worst in yourself. So what's the progression?
There's none.
Yeah, it's just a person that says, yes, I accept God and Jesus, and they can take over prayer from me. It doesn't mean you stop learning, and it's almost like in some ways they do.
I just want to do what I have a passion for and what I love. I mean, I'm a healer, and I want to be able to earn an income, you know, as well as taking care of people. I mean, that's what I do.
Well, change your perception from making a living and start making a life, and maybe I'll set things right, because when I first said before, I picked up on the idea where I feel like there's some things that you've been taught. Some of these perceptions are still dictating the outcome of the situations you're into. So it's like if your subconscious mind says you can't do it, at the same time your conscious mind is saying, hey, that's what I'm going to do, your subconscious mind could work against you and undermine you. So, you know, it's the idea of doing some things to clear that out too as well. You know, the simplest one I ever found was the idea of just declaring that you love. I am love, I am love, I am love.
You know, being in gratitude.
Yeah, when you love yourself, you're saying I'm grateful for what I have and what's going on. And plus, when you said you'd be grateful for everything.
I do that on a daily basis. Before my feet hit the floor out the bed, I'm saying thank you.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, in the mornings, make your intention for 15 minutes, and then for the rest of the day, be in gratitude. As long as you keep yourself in a state of gratitude, you can actually detach yourself from what you're focusing on, which will probably happen quicker.
Okay.
It's all done in love. So try that. Any more questions?
I was thinking, you know, maybe when I do that in the morning, you know, just getting out of my car, staying gone most of the day, don't go back to where I'm living, and then just coming back in the evening and doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I'm in a negative space.
How much money would that make this year?
I'm sorry?
How much money would you like to make this year?
I want to go back to making $300,000 plus, like I used to.
Okay. So I was just suggesting that you put something above your bed. It says just that. So the first thing you see before you get out of bed, you'll see a thing above your bed. The first thing you see in the morning when you open your eyes. And then sit and contemplate about that for 10 or 15 minutes, and then get out of bed, and thank God there's a floor to stand on. Be gratitude for the blankets, the sheets, even the itchiness to the freaking the fabric, because it's all yours. But also the situation, I think people should be more gratitude and more grateful about certain things to realize that everything's on loan until while you're here. So therefore, you should be easier to detach yourself from the situation and realizing the ideal of $300,000 you want, plus is the idea of focusing on the ideal of saying, I am happy and grateful for my $300,000 over my income being over $300,000, $1,000 a year, and all my wants, needs, and desires always being fulfilled, and my income always exceeding my wants, needs, and desires, so they're always fulfilled. Something like that. I forgot my journal, so
I have a suggestion.
Go ahead.
You said that you're a healer.
Yes, I am.
All right. When you get in your car in the morning and you go out and about, I don't know exactly how you go about healing. I'm a healer as well. Now,
I'm a skin therapist.
Okay. Is there any way that you can visualize some sort of healing without touching anyone, without speaking to anyone necessarily, just being in a space of silence? So in other words, this might be a silent bit of homework.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to go out and about during the day and do this and just heal those that cross your path during the day, being in service, in a silent service. I don't know if that's something that you're able to do or not, but to be in service of those around us is one of the greatest gifts that we can even give ourselves. And it comes back tenfold, honey.
Okay. Yeah, I was just wondering what you do. What do you do for yourself? As in meditations, any chakra clearing, or any, you know?
I do meditation at night. I listen to meditation music, because like I share, it's three of us in a studio apartment, and I have to put something in my ears in order to, you know, to zone out, to even get some sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the other person, we're in the studio, the other person snores very loud or he's up in the middle of the night smoking. So I have to do something to zone out, to be in my own space of calm in meditation. And I usually do go to the park and sit there and meditate, you know, from time to time when I can get an opportunity to. But, you know, temporarily out of cash and, you know, I have to budget really carefully to be able to go to those places that I normally, you know, go. I mean, I used to, even for myself, because I would, you know, work on so many people, I would go and get someone to work on me. But, you know, now, temporarily, I'm unable to do that until I get back up on my feet more. And I used to do mobile massage until I hurt my hand, but I'm more of a skin therapist and a body worker. And I've been looking at those jobs because, I mean, I've studied for years for that. I've been looking at those particular professions, so I can go in and start out somewhere and then eventually end up back on my own again.
You should also put yourself in a state of mind of progression on all levels. So you gotta do your abilities too as well. How many spiritual abilities are you aware of that you have? Like clairvoyancy, clairaudience, clairsentience?
I mean, I know I'm clairvoyant, clairaudient. I'm more of a medical intuitive. I can scan the body and see what's going on, and I can manage to target those areas and heal. That's my best ability. That's my best ability. And I would do that on my clients when I would go to their homes and take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to go back to doing that again.
No, I'll just say, with the situation I go through, every time I turn around, I'm always, you know, allowing myself to expand more. Like I started doing the clairvoyancy and just doing readings and such, and then went from there to actually being more clairsentient, healing, meditation, life coaching, relationship counseling, because of some of the things I was crossing my path and something expanding on certain things I wasn't, you know, qualified to do. And then the idea of being an empath was something I learned to find a strength in, and not instead of letting it be a weakness, which it was my choice. So I sort of found a strength in that whole thing too, which it actually made it a little more insightful to people and reading what's actually really going on, because people do have a tendency not to be even truthful to themselves, so it's really hard to be truthful to them, to you as well. So I was saying, you know, those things, palm readings was something that I felt like could be really good for people, because, see, palm readings have a tendency to be something that people are fearful of, but it also has a tendency to point out things directly about themselves using their own body to point it out to them that they can actually see. Because when you do healings and stuff like that, there's not really much visual about the whole thing. And people really have a tendency to focus on, if I can see it, I believe it. And I know they're supposed to be the other way around, but, you know, sometimes if you get them to the point where they can get that visual, then the rest of it has a tendency to follow. You know, that one thing we used to say before, the idea of focusing on service and the money will always follow.
And, yeah, and that's what it is. They have to be in front of me in order for me to be able to help them. I can't do it distance and all of that. They have to be in front of me.
I understand what you're saying, sweetie, but what I'm saying is open your mind and quit being kind of prejudiced, because you think those are the best gifts that you have, that the other ones can't be developed, because they do exist. I did the same. I did, for example, I was doing a reading one night for somebody on the show, and they asked me if I could actually remote view and do palm readings. And I said, I don't know, I've never tried, so let's give it a try. So I did, and I could. Which kind of taught me that there was some other abilities I just really haven't developed, because I really didn't think I had them. Plus, I didn't really have a good feeling about remote viewing as what I was taught. And so I found out that there's actually two sides of this. There's the one that's really structured and it's government-based, and then there's the other one of actual, the truth, the spiritual, organic, whatever you want to call it, of remote viewing, where we actually do focus on what we're looking at and doing the whole thing of remote viewing in the government way, is to focus on the area but not on the situation or the person. I never understood why we can't focus on the object itself that we're actually trying to find, and we have to focus on texture, you know, certain and the environment. But I thought if we focus on the center of what we were trying to find, everything else would pretty much play itself in there. And you know something? When I decided to do it my way, it worked. And it also teaches that each individual out there has their own abilities, but they actually have to find a way individually to get there. That's what I'm just saying. Explore, because the more you take your mind off of what's going on in the process of negative and look for a positive solution, even if it's just the idea of trying to test another ability, the situation you're in, the more you focus on solution, a solution will present itself and get you where you really want to be at. But you really got to be very detailed and descriptive about what you really do want, where you want to be at. And I said before at the beginning of the show, it's like I feel like very strongly that in itself, I'm making the choice to do that, will definitely open up another. Actually, I get the impression of 5 doorways to get yourself in a situation where you know where you're going to go.
Okay.
Because we have the situation too. We have a tendency to be too worldly in our thinking, that we don't realize we can communicate with angels and we do healing and stuff. There's always that worldly aspect you still have to get rid of to realize that you have no limitations. The world presents itself, but see, you're focusing on a worldly way. You have to sit and ask yourself, honestly, am I too caught up in the materialistic thing that might actually be blocking my spiritual gifts to get me out of the situation? I'm not saying it is or it isn't. I just feel like you need to take a look at that, okay?
Okay.
Because I've done it before, too. I mean, you get in this business and that kind of stuff, there is the aspect of money, finances, and success. And sometimes they have a tendency, they can never become the forefront. We do.
Mm-hmm.
But when they do, they have a tendency to create blocks more than anything else. Okay?
Okay. I just want things to be better.
You will be.
Well, I feel very strongly they will be. I just feel like that the government... Yeah, the government's always looking for direction because they're, like, lost, okay? But, no, I just feel like that's what I keep hearing about you and the universe says, just tell us, and we will deliver. But it's the ideal, make a trade, you don't have one thing in front of the other. Like I said before, if you're focusing on money, their situation, focus on everything outwards, then your focus is in the wrong place. Your focus should be inwards, because you're inward in how you feel, is basically manifest in your outer world. So it starts with you. I'll keep going.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not getting any sleep. Mm-hmm. I'm inhaling secondhand smoke.
Well, look at the situation, sweetie. You're a spiritual being who can't be touched. If you don't, if you want to protect that body of yours, then protect that body. It doesn't matter what he does, what he doesn't do. He cannot hurt you in any shape or form unless you allow him to. And every time you say something, this is affecting me, you're allowing everything that goes along with it to be a part of your life. What you want to do is go, no, no, no. I can't think that way. I got to sit there and clear my mind and say, no, I'm in control. I'm in the driver's seat. That's your ego kicking in. It makes you think, you know, the ego will make you question yourself. We'll sit there and look at the situation. We'll always look at the negative side of everything. It's that first thing that pops in your mind when you're trying to make a decision is guidance. And we even say it, too. We sit there and say, how can I stop second-guessing myself? So we know the first thing that comes through is what it is. But we even want to stop second-guessing ourselves to hear it clearly. We just got to really pay attention when it comes through and follow it through and tell our ego to shut up.
Okay.
Okay, it's like, I'm in the driver's seat now, dude. You think you are, but you're an illusion. You're just there to motivate me after I already make a decision what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I tell people all the time, don't listen to your head. Don't listen to your body. It's like going out and asking your Mustang, should I go out with Joe? I guarantee you won't hear anything. And realistically, you're not hearing anything from your ego. Okay?
Okay.
Get a chance sometimes to go down to a private reading. Be glad to hear from
you. Sure.
If not,
I've actually talked to you a long time ago on Keen. You're on Keen, right?
Yes, I'm on Keen.
Yeah.
I'm going to be smart enough to go, isn't it Keen? Sometimes. Anyway.
Honey, do you, you've heard of The Secret, right?
I'm sorry?
Have you heard of The Secret?
Yes, I actually have the book, and it's in my storage.
You need to get,
go to the library.
You need to get out of storage.
Out.
That information that I have, it's in that book.
Well, go to the library, check it out. It's free.
If you want to hear the affirmation that will actually set things right for you, it's in the book, too. But I remembered it. I have it memorized. It says, I am whole, perfect, strong, powerful, loving, harmonious, and happy. Thank
yes, you are.
And so be it. And so it is. Thank you.
Okay.
So we
said, yeah,
so
I'm
just saying, the infractions within your life is the ideal. Somewhere along the line, you lost the faith in yourself that created the snowfall effect. Now you're getting back to the point where you're going to get confidence in yourself and say, you know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, whatever I say, the elements have to listen to me because I have dominion.
Okay.
It's my birthright, divine birthright. Let everything go your way. I had my friend did this too. Nicole was always making money, always doing things, but she was always behind on everything. It wasn't until she sat there and told herself that she deserved it because she desired it, so be it, so it is. Everything started changing. Now she makes more, and she always has money. She's always in a good place. And she doesn't worry about the idea. She's not putting herself in a situation where she's worrying, I got to have all this money for next week. Now, right now she has a situation where she has a plan because she's going to Italy. But it seems it's kind of funny that since she decided she's going to go to Italy, she's just a reader. That's all she does. And now she's going to go to Italy in June, I think. And she's already got her ticket. Now she's just getting the money. So she'll have money with her and that kind of stuff. She's even got a plan when she gets there to do readings. So, see, she has a profession. She can take anywhere she wants.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you. So it's the idea of asking yourself, where will I be successful? Where will I be the most successful? And it's wherever I go. Wherever you go, you will be successful because in your life, that's just a certainty and that's the truth because that's the way it's always worked. You've always been successful because of you and your intentions and your decision to make it happen. And you've always been successful. It's just the idea of remembering how you did it the first time and do it again. And this time, look at the situations that brought you down and then change that whole format of making decisions so they never happen again. And you'll just keep going and going and going. And then you'll start remembering from time to time when you lose your way to say, I'm whole, perfect, strong, powerful, loving, harmonious, and happy. You're saying this to yourself, first and foremost, so therefore when you do that for yourself, the universe has nothing to do, cannot do anything else, but it listens to you and obey.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
you give me a call and do a private reading this time, because if you do a private reading, then call me, and you have to use your credit card. Right now we have specials all the time where it's only $1 a minute.
Okay.
And with certain people's situations, all you got to do is show up and say, this is what I have, and this is what I want. I've never said no to nobody, so just do it.
Okay.
But, you know, but still, come back on the show and tell us how things are going. If you have any more questions, give us a call. We'll be glad to sit down and talk to you, okay?
Okay, I will.
Thank you for calling, and you have a great night.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Oh, I swear this tea is good, but it has a tendency to have effects.
Can you type the affirmation in? Or do you... Oh, I don't have my book with me.
Oh, and what are you asking me for?
Because you remember it?
Yeah, I think, oh, yeah, I can actually see that.
If I had my book with me, but it's in my other purse, I forgot it. Carry the kitchen sink around with me, you know?
Mm-hmm. You want to do that right now?
You're typing that in then?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe you can say it while you're talking, or while you type in.
I'm trying to. It's like whole, perfect, strong, powerful. Where the hell's the dog?
Out on the street.
We should have the door and tell him to shut up.
No, this is Manitou. This is where everybody gets to
I be. Will still stick a sign out saying, show him progress, show some respect, or show your way out, or I will.
It's part
anyway.
Of life.
Part of life?
Yes.
It's like the ideal, explaining things.
Explaining what things?
Well, everything gets crazy when I'm doing shows or reading. I'm kind of figuring out what the other
it's
day.
It's the energy. That's what you don't understand. Everything just... Are you shushing me?
Yes.
You can't shush me.
Oh, right. Are you saying that's what you do? And that's your right, so somebody else does it? You're infringing?
All right.
You know,
right.
One thing I can't remember to do, it's harmonious.
Hey, now, at least I say shush and I don't put my hand up to make you be quiet.
Seriously? What'd you call that? How come I... I was sitting here talking about, I actually, today I had a friend of mine that I'd actually talked to down at the restaurant, Danielle, at the Sahara.
Oh, yeah.
And after all the people I've actually invited to the shop, she's about the only one that's ever showed up. So I was like, we were sitting there talking, and it's kind of funny when you run into people that drive you crazy.
Vicky and Terry are on the phone.
Well,
they were.
So am I.
Are they still? I believe they still are.
And so, I know. I'm just trying to make sure I get this right.
All right.
Okay, I'm putting the affirmation in the chat room. If you have any problems where you get a private reading, just call that number. I'll put the number next to it.
But she's going to get you.
Who's going to get me?
Right.
Oh. Let's see. Really? No, I just thought it was kind of funny when we talk about respect and how actually how deep it can go in people and they can do so telepathically. But it's also people who have a tendency to think they are something they're not. I think sometimes someone has to, it's not the idea of telling them that, it's knock them down a notch. It's the idea of realizing that what you're saying out of your mouth is bullshit, and I know it. So hopefully they'll stop doing it, because if they're doing it with me, then pretty much they're doing it with somebody else too, and that's not good. I'm trying to figure this thing out as I speak. No, I was talking to her this morning. She threw me off. So I asked her when her birthday was, right? And she said her birthday was 26th, right? And I said, oh, great. You must have one of these unique birthdays. Your birthday is the 26th of every month. And she was like, no, that's not what I mean. Her birthday is April 26th. His birthday is the 26th. Huh? Heather?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Where the heck are you?
I swear it was not in my own little world. I'm chatting online, okay?
Who are you talking to? The people in the chat room?
Yes.
I know, you should stop.
Okay. Well,
no, that's not what I'm saying.
Are we visiting with other callers?
No, we're not. We're sitting there talking and having a nice conversation, and we will get to the callers, I promise. It's just that
okay.
They want some information. I'm putting in the chat room right now as we're talking. And I was just sitting there talking about this person that I actually feel like she's a very special person.
What is that? Every person special?
Say what?
I said, isn't every person special?
Yes, but this morning...
I can't help but give you a hard time.
But in the shop, there were only two of us, so therefore I can actually individualize it because that's what she is.
All
very
right.
Special, as we put it, individual. Let's see. I was going to say one thing. I cannot talk and type at the same time.
I noticed.
I'm just saying. That's why. There you guys go. I actually put the information in for private reading. If you want to call me for a private reading, it's 740-500-8863 or go to my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. But the affirmation is I am whole, perfect, strong, powerful, loving, harmonious, and happy. So happy, and so be it. That's what I'm trying to. I was trying to figure out that word now. I was like, oh, that's pretty simple. Now I feel really stupid. No, what I was saying was the idea of sitting here talking to people and that kind of thing, and the idea of seeing them for who they really are, not because the embarrassment or trying to call them on the spot. It's just the ideal of stating the fact. A lot of people have a tendency to hear the opposite. Or people see the like Christians. You ever notice how they walk up to you and the first thing they say is they want to hand you a pamphlet and the first thing on the pamphlet says, since you're lost, we can help you. And I was like, no, I go to work. I have no problem getting there. I'm never lost. And then they have a tendency to say, well, it's not funny. This is really serious stuff. And then you look at the situation of talking to them. My thing is, I don't think anybody has the right, no matter who you are, because of who you are, have the right to tell someone else they're not. Without having a little more foundation behind it. Because if a person can walk up to you and all they can see is the worst in you, it makes you wonder about what they are all about and what they're covering up in the process of helping me. Because if they can see the good, if they can see the positive and everything good within themselves, that should be the first thing they see when they see somebody else. When you look at a situation of people who say, I mean, there's one that says, today I send love to the world. To everyone, no matter what they've done or who they are. You just love unconditionally. You do make choices from time to time and say, okay, is it really in my best interest to have this person in my life? And just because you choose not to, it doesn't mean you love them any less. It just means they don't respect you in some sense of the word. So therefore, to respect yourself, you have to make a decision. And then people start telling you, well, that's kind of cruel, but that's their perception. To tell them that you just did a mean thing when all you're doing is making a choice. It's the idea of taking the personal part out of it, the whole thing. Girls do the same thing. Guys, this person left me. No, they didn't. They just left. So in the process of leaving, they just showed you who they are, their true colors. So therefore, you can see it for what it is. It should also help you to understand that since they were lying to themselves and presenting an illusion to you, all it really tells you about yourself is you were being real. So their phoniness actually reflects back at you of how real and serious you are. So therefore, we look at the situation, make a choice, and cut them out of our lives forever because we just realize at that moment they're not good for us, and they're not in alignment at all in the process of what we're actually wanting, who we want to be with, and what kind of relationship we want to have. Because with their phoniness, it finally came to a head and showed us just exactly that and who they really were. But sometimes we take it too personal, hang on to things too long in the process of justification. Because maybe because of our fears and not wanting to go out there and do it again. But you know something? The only way you're ever going to face that kind of fear is to face it and not run away from it. If you have relationship issues, you can't deal with relationship issues unless you're in a relationship. Do you ever hear people say, "I have a problem being single. I got to work on it." You don't. You don't even think about it. Don't even question it. But when people in relationships or relationship stuff, they question everything. All it does is reflect back how they question themselves, probably because of what they heard and held and the whole thing. It goes along. So it was a Taurus day. That's why I was bringing up. Danielle came in. We talked. And it was a great talk, great conversation. Really enjoyed spending time with her because she's just a fantastic, awesome person in some sense of the word. Or she just is. Which is the idea of getting someone else's opinion that we were actually talking about. I've done this before too. People say you're Christian or pagan, and I was like, oh, I don't like either one because they're titles. It doesn't mean I have anything to do with the religions or against the religions. It's just the idea of the situation. They've always had a tendency to want to tell me one way or the other how I should or shouldn't do or feel. And therefore, the reason I like spirituality so much is because it gives a person a freedom to be oneself, spirit. So she came in, we talked, I think about 3 hours. And then when she all started talking, we were talking about Christians, and I was actually asking her what she was, and she's like, well, she's been raised as a Christian, but she doesn't know what to call herself. And I said, why call yourself anything? So we're taught that we have to, you know, it's like you have to belong to something to be something. When actually the opposite is true. The more individuality you have, the more you are part of everything and a part of nothing. But it's the idea of just, you know, distinguish what that means. You're a part of the world. It's called the human race. You're connected because we all come from the same entity. Same being. But at the same time, the human condition has a tendency to tell us that we have to be a certain way around certain people in certain situations and so on and so on. What does spirituality teach you? To love everyone. I mean, listen to what I was talking about before. It says, today I send love to everyone in the world. It didn't say, hey, I send love to all the people out there that are Baptists. No, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't do that. So if you go, but it's like, even the churches that are really open, they still have a tendency to have that certain energy to it, too, that they're very cautious around people. Now, you would think people who are in these religions and they are connected to such a powerful God, why are they scared of everything? You ever wonder about that one?
Why are they? I'm sorry, I'm typing. They're scared of what?
I guess you can't talk and type at the same time.
No,
either.
I cannot read and talk and type and. No, I can't walk and chew gum either. Sorry. What did you say?
That's a good question. So I was sitting
Sorry,
here talking about
religion you
in itself. Yeah. Because realistically, the true word for pagan was actually determined back in the Roman days. People who lived outside the city were classified as pagan, and the people who lived in the city were classified as townies or certain things on that kind of format, which is kind of funny that the pagan word stuck. But the word that goes along with the people who live inside the castle or in the walls of the city didn't. It's changed. It's almost like it's changed from generation to generation. And it's kind of funny because someone brought to my attention and said, you're pagan, you know that? I was like, oh, no, no, no. But the true form of paganism is the idea of living off of one's own abilities, living off the land. that kind of stuff. It has nothing to do with Wiccan, because Wiccan has its own little name, which is connected to nature. And pagan is totally different. So when you look at the situation of everything that goes down, it's the ideal that even even the most loving cults still have may have a control thing. You know, when you look at the situation of, if you trace it back to the source of how we were created naked. Which wasn't classified as naked. We were classified as being created in the image of God. And you see how we have a tendency to look at the world, look at God and everything else, even angels. They all have clothes. They all have some kind of form to them. When actually it's been said that angels is actually a pure energy. It says that for every thought that God conceived, an angel was created. So therefore, that's the reason I look at angels, and that's why I see angels. I see as pockets of energy. And the truest form of love. Same thing with God. I don't see some guy walking around with a big old beard and a cane. Why would he wear a cane in the first place? He's immortal. He's not human. So therefore, he's no longer subjected to our human ways of actually going, oh, I'm falling apart. I'm 80 years old. And that's when I heard the lady say that. She was 35.
That's the third dimension. Angels don't live in the third dimension. We do. We don't have to.
That's exactly, because we're spiritual beings as well, where we can protect ourselves.
We can raise to the fifth dimension. But
All I'm saying with the situation is if we could, such a reason we should tap into the spirit in the purest sense, so we could actually have that perception, so therefore we can change how our lives are on this planet. Yeah. And we do have total control. It's a different dimensional plane. But that doesn't exclude who we are and how powerful we are. And that's what happens with a lot of people. I've actually heard people talk about it. I'm just a little crumb compared to God. I'm like, I'm sorry. God did not make you from a sub sandwich. He made you from Him.
I am part of Him. As are you, as is everyone. We're all part of perfection. Not being any better or any less than anyone. And to be our own divine being, we have to strive to be like Him. That's why when people say Christ-like, I'm like, what does that mean? And we've discussed that before, but seriously.
Christians want you to act like them. You see the prejudice part of that whole situation? If you don't act like me, if you don't act like Jesus, then you are a bad person. You're in a situation where you're down and you're down on the whole thing.
Okay, so because Christ stilled the storm, He walked on the water, He healed the sick, He changed the, He fed the 5,000 on 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. So because we don't all do that, we're bad. No, do you see what I'm saying?
No, I mean, I understand exactly what you're saying. But He's showing what Jesus came here to show us, and he's a powerful being to show you that you are too.
Exactly. And the churches have only barely touched the tip of the iceberg as to what Christ was here teaching.
So when you look at the situation, somebody sit there and said, you know, somebody, you're not Jesus. What are you doing? I said, but what is wrong with me striving to be Christ-like? And that person, I don't think, really had an answer. And they're going, You know, they actually have this thing called the Jesus complex, where it shows a person being too spiritual. And that's also, I think, it's one of the situations of all these science, these people out here coming up with these concepts because they're feeling threatened. I was sitting here talking about the situation that happened in Texas. Was that Waco thing? All we know about that whole situation, realistically, is from pictures and what we've been told. Unless you were actually there, you only ever know.
But
you always notice the situation. You always notice the situation with these people. Yeah, Terry, you're on.
Donnie, I'm on. Sorry.
No, you're fine. I didn't know.
My kids fell in my mouth.
Hey, what? Your kids fell in your mouth?
He's stealing my mouth.
Oh, he's stealing your mouth.
Yeah, from my laptop.
Is he also going to take your cat, too, huh? Your dog?
No, he didn't take the cat, but he knocked my tablet off. Hi, Ronnie. Hi, Heather.
Hello.
No, but I was just interested in the whole thing and said, hey, you know, it's kind of crazy with the situation about this, that, and the other. And this one guy came in the church. No, it was a tourist day because Daniel come in earlier. And there was all these people coming in to get readings right when we were talking. And I always tell people the situation and help people understand that you don't miss anything. Everything happens for a reason. And if you're in the midst of something happening, that's where you're supposed to be at. You're supposed to live it. So then I was sitting there, and this one guy came by like three times, right? He was a gay guy, and he was like, he came in the shop, and he's like, does this go against the Christian faith and that kind of stuff? At first, I was kind of baffled about the questions because of, you know, who he was. And then finally, he just said, well, you know, I'm gay and everything else, so I guess it doesn't really matter if the Christians don't like it or not, you know? But it was more about relationships and finding oneself and trusting himself. But he was a Taurus, too. So I was supposed to say it was a Taurus day. But I think sometimes today, we sit down about relationships a lot. I think right now we have a thing where people are even scared to death to have friendships because they might be tempted something more. Another person is living in the future and not living in the now. If they did, you can sit down and look at a situation of people's fears. Fears would be neutralized if everybody started living in the now. Because fears are caused by something that hasn't even happened yet. Some kind of insecurity base, too, as well. I thought it was kind of crazy. I'm hearing all these crazy things, and the idea of saying, hey, you know something? Just take all the paddles off. Take everything off. Just let it go. Let it be what it is. Experiences. This is a great experience between two people, okay? Just allow any resistance and see how many more great experiences you're going to have with this person that might actually turn into something else. How about you, Heather? Mrs.
Yes, I'm typing. I'm sitting here thinking, I wish we could just talk about this instead of talking, because I can talk faster than I can type. And there's several different conversations going on here, so I'm having a hard time.
Remember, you are the co-host, so you're in charge. Okay, so if someone said, you know, have a problem with the situation, slow down.
Oh, now you're admitting that I'm in charge, huh? This is how it is. All right. We have witnesses now.
Yeah, how it goes, men and women. I pay for it. You get to take advantage of it. Okay. Anyway.
Oh. Oh, dear me.
So, we got another caller in the queue. Terry, before we go to anybody else, did you have a question you want to ask, or did you just enjoy the conversation and want to join in?
I just wanted to join in.
It's a lot of fun.
I know. He always makes it fun.
Yes. Oh, always.
I think when Danielle was in the shop this morning, I was just so caught up in some other things have been so structured and so serious. But sometimes you think when people are being quiet and, you know, okay, you okay? And it was the ideal thing. Oh, yeah, it's okay, it's fine. Just that was so serious. The process of talking to other people, I think it's another time for me to relax and just, you know, enjoy people too as well, huh?
That's right.
Right?
I thought we were supposed to have fun here. You give advice. You give advice. You help, but
It seems to be the topic tonight of everyone searching, looking. My experience of so many people, including myself, is that the universe is stepping in and stirring things up, and people are spinning out of our lives. And homes, and we're being reshifted and moved around, and it's a good thing. It's a beautiful thing. Okay, now there's I just saw something. Approval from my parents. Approval. We don't need approval from anyone. No one.
Mm-hmm.
We are here learning, and there's a terrible echo. I can hear myself. Donnie, cover the microphone.
Okay. It's kind of hard to do since you got your own. Anyway.
If you're getting approval, you're not going very far if you're waiting for your parents to approve what you do.
Doesn't make sense because we all have that problem. I had the same problem. I was just talking to my sister, and this came to my freaking mind too, saying that the reason I stayed in Ohio as long as I did was to get approval. And when I got that approval, I thought then I could move on, not realizing I couldn't do it any longer.
Okay, here's
the
thing.
On.
I know that this has been said in so many different places. It is none of your business what anybody thinks of you. None. You know what somebody told me today? Everybody at work thinks I'm eccentric. I'm like, what?
You're what?
Eccentric? I'm eccentric.
What do you mean you're eccentric?
I don't know. I don't
How
know.
Are you eccentric?
I was talking to Danielle, and she said she was trying to find I was in there talking to her about, you know, what she's looking for, and she said she's confused about a lot of things. I think the confusion is the world is telling us one thing, but at the same time our hearts are telling us another, when it's just basically stopping, not looking for nothing. It's the ideal of accepting us, accepting ourselves for who we are, because even with all the swirling and all the whirling the universe does to us, it's trying to get us to look at the common denominator. Because no matter where we're at, you look at the situation, there you are.
Okay, here's
the
thing.
No, there you are. When you look in the mirror, there you are.
Yeah.
Okay?
When
you're at the store, it doesn't matter what people call you, there you are.
Well, it's just funny to me to hear somebody else's perspective or perception of me. I'm fun. I love crazy styles. I wear unusual clothes.
To me, when people say eccentric, it's like you are, I don't know, old and
like,
stuck in your ways.
Like old, crazy, you know,
I've
dark.
Seen her, I've seen her eat chocolate. It's embarrassing. She's far from being eccentric.
You've seen me what, and it's embarrassing?
No, when you eat chocolate, you really enjoy
chocolate. Oh, yes, I had a friend
chocolate.
Smack me in the middle of town square saying, would you shut up? Everybody's looking at you.
Yeah, I'm sorry,
I was enjoying my chocolate.
She's eating chocolate, and people start looking around for her partner if they're having sex in the parking lot.
You know,
it's really good, wasn't it?
I can't help it.
But anyway. Watch this the way it goes. I'm just saying with the situation realistically, it just shows somebody really enjoying their life. And every time I've ever seen an eccentric person, I always feel like they have a tendency to carry themselves a certain way. Really in the box. And you're about as far out of the box as you can get. Any chocolate?
I don't, there's no box in my, yeah, in the box? Are you kidding? I don't even know where the box is. I don't care. You don't agree with that?
What?
Did you say you don't agree with that?
No, I said I do agree with that.
Okay.
That was just your insecurity chomping out there for a minute.
Very, very rarely do I. Anyway, okay, so the bottom line is, the echo, okay, I got to do something with the echo.
What
echo?
I hear nothing.
What's happening is she's going into the phone, and we're standing right next to each other. And I will sit there and say, well, I don't think it's an echo. I think it's just a delay. So we will just. We only got 45 minutes left in the show, so this is called Delayed Wednesday. If you hear an echo, just join us. Join us. If you don't want to, too.
Open up. Vicky,
okay.
Did you call in?
Anyway.
I asked if Vicky called in.
Oh, Vicky Deander.
She said it makes her eye twitch.
It's making her eye twitch?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
The echo.
Oh, yeah, it's actually getting a little worse, so maybe you should take yourself back in the closet.
I have to go back in the closet? Damn it.
Get back in the closet now.
All right, I'm banished.
Or maybe
okay.
You should just maybe get
no,
a chair.
No, I'll go back to the closet.
Maybe just.
It's okay, I like the closet. Okay.
Okay. For future references.
This is called
if you
being
contact,
in gratitude.
Contact her in the closet.
I'm not in the closet. I'm in a cute, tiny little room.
Okay, that's right. That's my future bedroom. Okay, it didn't sound right, did it? Anyway.
Okay, I do believe the echo should be gone.
It is.
I don't hear it. I don't know. Okay. I don't know if Vicky went or if she's still here.
Okay, well, let's do this. Vicky
left.
Have a caller. I have this one here. This is a Skype name. B-N-N-A.
Oh, no.
A butt high?
Okay.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
How am I?
Who are
That's a good
ladies?
Question.
Who are the two ladies that's new on your show?
Oh, this is Heather.
Introduce them. Introduce them to me.
Well, we have Terry.
Hi, Terry.
And we have Heather.
Hi.
Heather lives here.
Heather.
Well, she lives here in the same town. And she works at Patsy's.
Okay. Thanks so much for taking my call. I was doing a meditation today, and all of a sudden, my mother is there, and I'm trying to figure things out, listen to Blog Talk in my meditation. I'm doing that. And she says, get out of the bed, get out of the bed, get going, get going. And I'm like, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, get out, get going. She will not hear me at all. She just wants her way. And I said, Mom, I'm looking at her, and she's not hearing. Like, she doesn't even hear me. She just wants her way. So she's, like, pulling the sheets off the bed. What do you think this means? It was very upsetting to afterwards. I felt very upset emotionally. I'm terrified. Controlling her, controlling me. So anyway, that's what I wanted to say.
She was trying to control you?
I felt very controlled because I had to do what she wanted to do and she wouldn't hear me. Yeah, I don't know. It was kind of weird.
Where's your mother?
She doesn't live here. She's far
away. Okay. All right, so she's far away. So the ideal, this is like a dream, right?
Yeah, it was like a dream. Like she was in my apartment and trying to get me to move out of my bed. And I was in my bed listening to Blog Talk, trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And then there she was, like, trying to move me.
You know, I look at a situation like that dream before I've heard before where a mother's doing something when someone's trying to live their life. And it represents the ideal of certain things. If a person's not physically a part of your life, what it usually represents is the ideal of thoughts and ideals and stuff they've instilled in you that they're trying to point you out in the process of them still getting in the way of what you really want to do and how you want to sit here and live your life. If they're actually in your life, it pretty much says the same thing, but also the ideal of getting the heck out of your house and the ideal of what two people need to be is on their own.
Right.
It talks about your life and your life only, and it talks, and that's all it says. And it's like, it's kind of crazy with the situation, the bed, which is basically where we spend 95% of the time. But I'm just saying, when you look at the situation, the time we spend in bed and that kind of stuff, also that's part of the dream or the daydream or whatever. It just says the same thing, that this person's interfering in my life because that's your life. So
yeah.
What about something you actually heard from your mother?
Well, she called me for Easter. I didn't call her. I just didn't feel like calling them for some reason. I just sent them a message. I sent my dad a message. And then she called me again the next day, and she tried to call me. Like, she was trying to call and call. And I know that if I don't call her or return her call, she'll start getting worried and she'll call me again and again until I call. I don't want that type of harassment. You know, there's
a reason.
The
ideal thing, too, because as we talked about before, the ideal of people being disrespectful and trying to justify it by saying, I'm worried about you, I got to do this, when actually it's just their obsession to control your life.
Yeah, it's very much, it feels very much controlling and like nosy, like they need to know what's going on in my life. And it's my mother, I understand, but sometimes it feels too enforcing, and I don't know how to. I think I want to talk to her. That it makes me scared when she like harasses me and calls me every day, and thinks that I am obliged to call her because it's Easter, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I have some people talking to me, too, about the holidays. You're working the holidays? I'm sorry, but realistically, the ideal, I mean, depends on how you look at the holidays themselves, but, you know, the holidays are something that I call, they're human concepts of people who need days off because they're not living the life they really want to. So on those days, they have a tendency to make up for it, and they get ticked off and they go back to work. But when you actually really start doing what you really love to do, you actually have to force yourself to take a day off because you enjoy every freaking day to the point because you're doing what you love to do. You know, and I start to look at the people you're talking about, the invasion, the disrespect, and I also see people who have not really done what they really want to do with their lives, never really taken the initiative, so therefore they won't take the initiative in other people's lives and think they're doing the best for them. And the reason we're having such a rebellious time with them is because we can see their lives what they are, and because of the sacrifices, or as I call them, compromises they've made, it reflects out to the point where we don't want to do that. But they sure try to push it down our throats anyway. My mom's one of the worst about the whole thing about, you know, what you need to do.
Yeah.
And I understand the ideal need to do, but she also needs to do one thing, too, is to realize I'm an adult, and no matter what I do or don't do, just be a supportive parent.
Oh, these parents are so annoying. You can't live with them. You can't live without them. These parents are so annoying. Like, they have three other kids. Why don't they just keep focusing on these three other kids and leave me alone, you know? It's not helping.
I'm just saying, if the kids followed in the same footprints they did, or footsteps,
yeah.
The reason they don't get on their asses is because more likely they're doing what their parents tell them to do. They don't realize that once you hit that 18, 19-year-old, it's not the ideal. Some people get mad and get angry. I'm going to do what I want to do with my life. And in the process of rebellion, they have a tendency to do just like their parents did. Instead of actually looking at it as a learning lesson to sit there and dictate exactly what you really want to do with your life. I'm sure there's parents out there, I've seen them before too, very supportive of their children and what they want to do, whatever they want to do. And so you'll see families where you have different professions and they're all successful at those professions because the parents wasn't butting in, they were just being supportive. And they hardly ever talk to each other, but when they do, they get together to do this. They understand that everybody has their lives, they're living their lives, and they don't feel threatened when someone just says, you know, you're not thinking about me 24/7, because they don't have to. And realistically, that's kind of an impossibility of thinking about somebody 24/7, because that tells you right there, if you're focusing on someone else's life constantly, then you're not living your own, you're living theirs, and vice versa. It's like your mom. She's a woman who's very, very controlling, but at the same time, if you look within herself, she feels very out of control. So she tries to compensate by controlling everybody else. And she likes using that one thing that most people do. I'm your mother. And there are some things you can't argue with. But you can look at it and have a different perception and say, yes, you are my mother. But we're now two adults. So it changes the parameters a little bit that you want respect, you got to give it. It has to be a continuous thing back and forth between two people.
Yeah.
It's okay. You know, you were guiding me when I was a child and that kind of stuff. But now you have to have faith in what you've taught me to let me make my own decisions.
No, she was not guiding. I don't know what she was doing. She was like a lost mother. I don't know what she was doing. She wasn't really available, you know, so I don't really know. She was a narcissistic.
I'm just saying, my mother was one thing when we were younger. She was constantly working all the time.
Aww.
See, the point of the situation. But what I'm saying is, I remember this lady planned a lot of things with us, too, as well. We went to Disney World for the first time and had fun. so she had these things where when she was there, we had fun. Sure, I'm pretty sure it was a lot of stress and that kind of stuff. I had brothers that were just dorks, you know. But I'm just saying with the situation, that kind of stuff. But and she worked almost all the time. But see, the one thing about the whole situation was, with her working and everything, it was just her. And us, and there was five of us. So you got to look at the situation for what it was. We were well taken care of, and from and this is the funny thing. So we have a parameter to work with my family. Okay, my dad sucked as a person who would do things for everybody. He did a lot of stuff in his life and everything else like that. But we were always living Yeah, I don't like the idea when someone would sit here and take the situation and putting us and make us live in shacks underneath the property level when he's got a job working for a big corporation. Mm-hmm. It was like he was focusing on nothing, but it's almost like a single guy with a wife and kids. My mom decided to change everything, and in a matter of a year after her leaving my dad, we went from being poor to where it was kind of embarrassing to go to school, because now I went from being, you know, one of the kids who hardly wore anything, and the idea of having nothing, you know, to going to a place where we had all kinds of stuff. I could dress anywhere I wanted. You know.
How did that happen?
Well, Mom just decided to put things out there. She didn't like the way things were done. She didn't like the way my dad didn't. My dad would talk. I think what happened was my mom and my dad had just bought a new house. Well, my dad said he didn't want to pay for it, because it was cutting into his fun expenses, where he could go out and bowl and do whatever he wanted. So he wanted to go back to living in a freaking shack with no water, no nothing, to go from this nice house. Yeah, it was a 3-bedroom house with all kinds of good stuff out in the middle of the country. Great place. And then, so she made a choice. And Dad lost. Next thing you know, Dad was out, and she didn't care what she lost in the first year. Whatever was associated with him and that family needed to go, she just let it go. And then she compensated. And then she, you know, put herself in a situation where she had goals, and she went to those goals and got it done. So she basically accomplished and did exactly what she wanted to do with her life in the process of making a decision. So, you know, she has her times, and she has her parameters, the way she was trained, the way she was brought up, and that kind of stuff. That when I was playing music, there was always a negative tone to it. She's one of the negative, positive people. So thank God she took the positive and changed her own life. It's just that she has a tendency to look at things and pretty much see the worst case scenario. At the same time, she tried to tell you to think positive. How the woman ever got out of getting out of a bad marriage and out of a bad situation. Sometimes I do have a tendency to question it, because the way she has a tendency to be very negative. You know, but if you actually see her life, the lady has a new car about every 2 years. She has all this stuff going on for her. Okay? So with that situation, she's a good example, because she went out and got what she wanted. But it seems like sometimes when she sees her kids going out and doing what they want to do, she does have some prejudice from how she was raised. We have to take a look at the situation ourselves and say, I can see it. So we look at it and say, she's crazy. But at the same time, she's also a good example. We just have to look at all the good things she's accomplished and realize that sometimes what comes out of her mouth is my grandmother, you know. But even that situation, my grandmother always had what she always needed, wanted, needed, and desired. She was always taken care of. So she's got to look at the good in everybody and the situations they've accomplished. And they had a tendency to do it the way they wanted to do it. They live their lives just the way they want to. So I think that's the example, the positive one, to say, okay, yeah, she has a tendency to give some really crappy advice. But when you look at her life and what she's actually given her own advice, then you can learn from her. And I have. It's kind of funny, too, when you tell them about it, too. She goes, why are you doing all this for? Where'd you learn this from? And I said, you. Go out and do what you want. Accomplish your life. Do that kind of thing. I don't think she realizes when she argues with people, the reason she has a hard time with it, because it's a reflection of herself. Mm-hmm. Take a look at that. So you look at your mom and that kind of stuff, how she has a tendency to fight with herself. It just has a bad tendency to reflect you as well. But don't let her pull you in and that kind of stuff. It'd be great. I'm just saying, with the situation, that kind of stuff, I mean, it can be confusing sometimes. I've seen my mom like that. I just had to sit there and step back from the situation and see her for who she really was. I think sometimes she doesn't see herself. I think she was a whole lot better person before she actually fell into the religion. It might sound weird to some people, but, you know, I was there talking about that the other day. There's some people who go to church who keep thinking that going to church is going to save them. and I
still
see
that's what they've been taught. That's what's been ingrained in the majority of society. Sorry, I piped in.
All right.
It's true, though. Think about it. Each generation, we teach our children what we've been taught. Now, granted, as further on it goes, you know, because everything begins to shift. I mean, how long has Christianity been around? We've all been taught what our parents were taught, which what their parents were taught. So we've been brainwashed, pretty much.
Yeah, not what they're talking about it too. I didn't like this guy's philosophy how he was actually presenting it because he was basically denouncing God, and I was just saying, okay, God still exists just because Christianity really didn't start until 200 years after the fact. You know, it doesn't mean God doesn't exist and the whole bit in a situation like that. I mean, I have looked at the Bible in some sense of the word with some things that some restrictions are kind of weird because they come off more of a human sense than they do a spiritual sense. Like looking at God and realizing God has never been in the true form as he was when he created everything, and I found that it was always a God, he was never human. And some people said Jesus is God in human form, but at the same time, when I look at it, if that's the case, if he did come back to actually remind us of who we are, then that would make sense too. The creation of God, he was a creation of God, even if he was God and reincarnated. That's another thing that throws me out, too. The idea of reincarnation doesn't happen. But here we have a God incarnating himself in human form as the form of Jesus. So it's kind of funny how all these contradictions drive me freaking crazy. And then the idea of finding out Jewish people do believe in reincarnation, and Jesus was a Jew. And then there was a part in the Bible where it talks about where the disciples are asking Jesus, you know, are you reincarnated of so-and-so and so-and-so? So the idea, even the idea of the concept even coming up, you would think that if it was something that was taboo, then Jesus wouldn't even talk about it. But he actually has no restriction of when he talks to the disciples and saying, I don't want to talk about that, or it doesn't exist. He just sits there and looks at the situation of looking at a solution of helping them to learn more about themselves. But I guess it's the reason I have trouble with Christianity, because they're not teaching me anything I already don't know. You know, it's kind of funny when Jesus came, every time you read the Bible, certain things he was teaching about, it was something different again, something new. You know, this there. Let's check a look at this situation. I think the strongest one is when Mary, and it depends how you look at it, Mary Magdalene, or just a Mary, who was about ready to get stoned because she was sinning. And Jesus just came in and said, hey, if none of you guys have ever sinned in your whole life, then go ahead and throw a stone. Not one person to his own. I don't think it's the idea of sin itself. I think it's the idea of people have to look at the situation for what it is. This is a person just like they are. And actually what they were doing at the time, pure sense of judging. It wasn't because of who she was or what she did. It wasn't all her infractions. It wasn't because she was a whore. It was because they didn't like her. Because she was different. Which goes back, like I said before, with Christians and the people in religion have a tendency to be the first ones to throw a stone to kill somebody in the process of justifying it because they're godlike. Which I've actually learned about God, and God is not like that. He's loving and caring. So therefore, he will look at the situation going, first thing to do here to prove that I'm a loving God is to forgive.
I have something to say.
Okay, shoot it out there.
Okay, so Mary Magdalene had her own journey. You were exactly right in saying it had nothing to do with what she was doing, but at the same time, they were scared of what she was doing because, so it goes back to the Magdalene manuscript where it talks about Mary using sex magic, the sex magic of Isis, but she had to learn. Well, the only way she could learn was by having sex with other people, of course, which makes sense because you have to practice or to know what the heck you're doing. Anyway, so it goes back to no judgment. We have no right to judge any person on the face of the planet because we have no idea what their journey is about. no idea. We have no idea what they were put here for. So,
well,
or
if you look at the situation on that
true.
One, she must have been put down here, and her path and the way it went, and how she went about it, she crossed paths with Jesus. If she wouldn't have, and she wouldn't have the life that she had, which led to where it came from, of enlightenment, we wouldn't have this story to tell other people.
Well, she served a great purpose in his life, a great deal of, she served him.
Well, I'm just saying, I was looking at Jesus, too, who can actually see the best in everyone. He can see the good in everybody. I mean, there's actually another part in the Bible, too. These Christians have to jump on the freaking situation. The only way you get to heaven, the only way you can be saved, the only thing is through Jesus. Okay, in the Bible, there's a part where this lady works her way through the crowd because she knows it's for a fact. If she touches Jesus, she's going to be healed. So she wheels her way through the freaking crowd, touches Jesus' clothes, and she's healed. Jesus turns around, and she goes, "Thank you, Lord, for healing me." And he looks right in the face and says, "I didn't heal you. Your faith did."
Exactly.
Your faith and
yourself. Because we all have that ability.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like Jesus came back and said, "This is who you are." I mean, I think we've talked about this before. He said, "Go read the Bible." In some sense, it seems like Jesus is kind of irritated with the freaking disciples. You know, there's certain things that taught you how to freaking stop the storms. I taught you that you are, you have dominion, you have this, this, and this, so therefore you can do just what I do. And he even says it, too. You can do the things that I do, and you'll probably even do greater works than I do after I'm gone. Have we?
No.
Oh, gosh.
I hope so. I don't know. The Golden Gate Bridge seems like a pretty good one. Anyway.
Okay, maybe. I'm thinking
so what
of
I'm
like...
Saying, I'm saying
I'm thinking of other things that we can't... I mean, of course we can build stuff. Yes, but I'm talking about our magnificence. Have we used our absolute magnificence? Creating miracles. Healing. You know, raising our vibration. Creating peace. Do you know, creating world peace begins with each individual?
Oh, yeah, that's what we said. Remember we said that before, the idea when you heal yourself, you heal the world.
Yeah.
One person at a time.
Yeah.
It has to start with you first. And the idea of the projection and the image that you give to everybody else is an example that you can do the same. And when you saw the chain reaction, so I got shampoo commercial, remember that one? And this person talks to this person, and this person talks to this person, and so on, and so on, and so on. So that's how it's also about spirituality. It works the same way. Christianity has the tendency to start off with a great bang, and then someone starts questioning the whole situation. And I'm not saying they don't do spirituality, but at least they look for a solution. And sometimes Christians, I've seen them in the situations, they're like waiting for someone to tell them. And that's like, okay, I'm waiting for an answer. I said, you realize the answer is within yourself, and you're refusing to look. Because they do have a tendency to focus on the world too much, and the outer world. And I'm just saying, guys, there's nothing wrong with focusing on yourself and the idea of taking responsibility. I still feel like in some sense the Christians have a tendency to say, okay, God, you take over. But it's still, I feel like it's still a co-creation. It takes both. You know, that God creates. But he's also taught you the same, too. We started talking about the other day about the energy thing. Whatever you focus on, when you're focusing on energy, it has a tendency to take on the appearance and the substance of what you're thinking about. Okay, but when you stop thinking about it, take your energy elsewhere, that energy goes back into a blob of nothingness. So it definitely takes thought to get it, to, you know, get it going. So if you look at the situation of God creating everything in the world and energy too as well, he still needs our interaction to focus on the creation of manifestation. It even says in the Bible, you have not because you ask not. And we all have a tendency to ask, with what? Our voice. And even our thoughts when we're thinking it. So there's two things. It says your thoughts can actually determine death, life, and death. So if you're always talking about how you're going to die, don't be surprised if tomorrow you don't get hit by a car. But also remember, it wasn't an accident. It was your intentions that brought about.
It doesn't work, Tony.
Huh?
That doesn't work.
It doesn't work?
If you say you're going to get hit by a car.
Oh, I'm not going to say that because I won't get hit by a car. I just had a guy in my shop. I had a guy in my shop that he got hit by a car. And most people, I've seen some of these psychics go, sitting there, they got hit by a car. Oh, I'm really sorry for you. And I said to him, I'm not sorry for you. I don't think you need to be feel sorry for. I think you are a very strong person. And I just feel like you put some kind of intentions out there to cause the accident. And if I sit there and bullshit you and blow smoke up your ass, it'll happen again. I don't want to do that. I want to give this person the right kind of information so he can walk out of the shop going, I feel confident that I can actually change my life to the point where accidents and situations of shortcomings and limitations don't happen anymore. But if I sit there and say, I'm sorry for you, just saying you're sorry for somebody can actually set off a ripple effect. They'll feel sorry for themselves for the rest of the days. That might sound crazy to some of you, but...
Not really. Not really. I don't think it sounds crazy.
Well, like I said, every day I turn around, if I fall down and hurt myself, I don't look at the person or the situation. I remember when I broke my nose on a piece of equipment at a gym. I was actually able to be impartial to say, I can sue the gym because of their stupidity not fixing the machine. Okay, who's going to sue me for not listening to myself to not even get on a damn thing? So that's what I heard.
Yeah.
That's what I
said.
Don't get on the machine. I guess I needed my nose broken to sit during. Some people have realizations where they have to have it really, you know, no pun intended, but, you know, pounded them. Anyway.
That's what I always say.
So that's what I said. You know, my people pushing me and pushing me and pushing me. You should sue those people. Why? What's the honor? What's the honor in suing them? I'm so focused on suing them, I'm not taking responsibility of my own actions. People freak out when you sit here and go, oh, I'm not going to do nothing. But why? I said, okay, did you want a loan or something? They let you sue, I'll give you money. Well, maybe you should get on the same equipment, break your nose, and you take it for there, okay?
Yeah, you go for a ride. I don't want to. It's too much
I just
time.
Did, yeah.
It's
well,
a waste of
like
your
it was
time.
Just a waste of time. Yeah, it is. It's a waste of time to go down there and do the whole thing. When I could be doing so much more about what I learned, I could teach it to somebody else so it'll never happen again. But if I sit there and do what I... If I sit there and sue the people, the only message that really sends is if you don't listen to yourself and you get hurt, you can sue somebody and make some money. Look up a bad train reaction. Or a bad train wreck.
You know, it's just, it's a matter of not listening. When you know you hear something, and that voice is telling you, I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm doing it anyways. Be prepared to suffer the consequences. Because obviously you're hearing that for a reason.
Yeah,
your angels are probably standing back going, I told you.
Right.
And they're probably giggling a little too because you didn't listen.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So you broke your nose. If you would have listened, you wouldn't have broke your nose, and you'd be sitting here going, well, maybe you might be going somewhere else, and instead of complaining how much you hurt, you could still do the same thing, but there wouldn't be no pain with it. You can feel the whole experience of being happy. It's the idea of choices. I choose.
I'm one of those people that when people fall, I'm one of those bad people.
Oh, yeah?
I laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't wait to see if they're okay. I fall. I watch them fall. I laugh. When I fall, I laugh.
Right.
And in between laughing, I try and ask if they're okay. It doesn't always get out.
Oh, yeah.
But I laugh a lot.
I don't know. I just can't get to typing things, I swear.
I know, huh?
Well, you put it in a Word doc, what you want typed up, and then copy and paste, and then save it.
I did, but I got caught up in everything else before I got here. I went to the restaurant to go get dinner, and I sit there going, there's something I'm missing tonight. And all of a sudden, I got my food, and I'm sorry, oh, shit. I'm sorry, oh, shoot.
Oh, shoot.
Oh.
I got to go do a radio show. I'm like, oh, shoot, I forgot about that. Well, I was going to say, I was just sitting there talking about the day. I was kind of reflecting a lot of things over my head, so I went to go get some food, and it was just the idea of reflecting on the people I talked today, and the idea of just really wanting to take it up a level, and the idea of helping people in situations like that.
Well, Donnie, I do have a question for you. Is my son going to change his tune?
From what, like singing very metal to heavy metal? I kind of wish he would listen to some Barry Manilow. Maybe it might change his perception a whole lot quicker.
If he listened to what?
Barry Manilow. He has a lot of love songs. Plus, it's a whole lot easier music in some sense. No, seriously, what I pick up with him is the idea, yes, he will change his perception and change his life and his perception towards you. That's just the ideal, the situation of stop thinking he knows it all. I'm serious. I've always looked at people and said, you know something?
He thinks he knows it all. And I think, and I don't want to offend anybody, but he got that way when he moved out Ohio, and I honestly think that that's what did it.
Oh, my God. Are you talking about, Ohio, the heart disease of the country. Anyway, it might sound crazy, but go to Ohio. I guarantee you after 10 minutes being there, you'll be able to book on the flight to get the hell out.
You know what? I was on the phone. There's a car sitting in my yard. It's his. It's been there forever. I called and said, somebody stopped today. They want the hearse. They will not pay for it. They want it. I don't want it in my yard.
Right.
He said, well, I think I should be able to get at least something out of it. I said, it's been sitting there rusting. I want it gone. I said, wouldn't you hate seeing it sit in your front yard all the time? And he's there, well, and I said, then come get it put in your front yard. I want it out of mine.
I think sometimes we have a tendency to put too much of a value on something. It just needs to go.
It needs to go. It needs to let go. Get rid of it. There's snakes in it. I'm not crawling in it.
Yeah. That's just where I looked at it, too, because I'm sitting there going, I've gotten rid of stuff. And people said, you know, you should sell that. Now I'm just going to give it away. And I just did it with a recliner, and I was amazed how fast it was gone. Good. Like in Ohio, it's kind of funny. If you put something out on your freaking street corner, it'll be gone. All you got to do is turn around. My mom did that one time. She put an old broke-up rocking chair out of the trash. She said she swore she just turned around because she heard something. She turned back around, and the only thing that was sitting there was trash cans.
Well, I said
it was gone that freaking quick.
I told him, if you don't care, come here. Then he just, all of a sudden, he just totally flipped out on me, screaming.
Was he trying to intimidate you to leave it there?
I don't know.
Was that kind of crazy?
Well, I had it on speaker, so I wasn't having it close to my ear. I handed it to his father. I handed it to his father, and his father was talking to him. And he said, Bradley, calm down. You have had issues with us for a while. Do you not want us in your life? No, I don't. He said, okay, give me a call when you want us back. And he hung up the phone.
Yeah.
He said he's going to have to learn on his own.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about with my friend Nicole, and she had people she knew just come in and sit down when she's down on the square doing readings. This guy just sits down in the seats that she usually has customers sit in. And she said it. She goes, I'm working. And the guy goes, okay. And it was like one of those situations looking at somebody, and she says, what should I do? I said, stop being so nice and just let him have it. Because both of them are claiming to be psychics, and they also claim to be good.
Mm-hmm.
She was also noticing certain things about them in the situation. People think they know it all. People who think they know everything don't learn
mm-hmm.
nothing.
Yeah.
They're always in that. There wasn't that perception. I know everything. So I figured, so just look at the guys and say, "Are you guys think you're really good psychics, don't you?" And when they say yes, you look them in the face and say, "You're not." Because if you're a great psychic, you'd probably feel my hostility right now. That I'm really ticked off at you and that you should go away. Okay? And she's like,
mm-hmm.
"Look, honey. Well, it's not me. It's your perception that will tell you why. It's because someone's speaking their mind, but it's also the truth." Because they got me, if they're going to sit there, and she's telling us the idea that they were also reading other people when they came over there. And I said, well, I can understand the whole situation of just letting that go, because if they're sitting next to a psychic who's doing reading, and the people come up there, and they want you to read them, sometimes people just assume on all levels that it's okay to read them because they're giving that one person permission, so the other one's going to jump in too, because
mm-hmm.
they just don't have the respect for the reader in the first place, their friend. So they're
yeah.
not going to respect anybody else either.
Yeah.
But they're not going to respect themselves until you put them in their freaking element, in their spot, and say, okay, go away.
I have.
You know what I mean? That's like him. His actions caused the whole thing that if he doesn't have his parents in his life, it's because of his own actions. And he's also been told that when you want us back in your life, then call us. So he has no excuse to say, well, how come you're not a part of my life? Well, we told you.
He says it's all me.
No, it's not
everything
you.
Is all me. I'm not saying I'm 100% innocent.
Well, it's because you're a parent.
But I'm also saying I'm not 100% guilty. His wife doesn't like me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said before, a woman doesn't like herself.
Huh?
A woman doesn't like herself, so she doesn't like anybody else. It's how it projects.
Yeah.
She looks everybody as a threat.
And
here,
she
you know.
Thinks she's all that because she got my kid, because my kid's so good looking and she's got him brainwashed. And that's not conceit, that's truth.
Okay.
All you
I'm
have
just
to
saying,
do is
when you
come
start
from
cutting
a space
everybody,
of love.
Huh?
Just come
I'm just
from
when
a
you start
space
cutting
of
everybody
love,
off. Yeah, I'm just saying when you cut them off like that, she thinks she has leverage because she has a grandson.
Mm-hmm. It's just if you send love and light, that is the only way
that
to
is what I've been
the
trying
situation.
To do. That mm-hmm. is what I've been trying to do. But it also just scares me because I know, you know, she's in his ear saying, your mother did this, your mother did that. And I'm thinking, you know, okay, so she doesn't like me. And I just found this out June that I was horrible to her.
Where's she originally from?
Pittsburgh.
Oh.
Okay.
Pittsburgh, huh?
Yeah.
I've been to Pittsburgh. It's scary. I've been to Pennsylvania.
I was just thinking.
I don't think there's any small people in Pennsylvania.
You don't think there's anyone? Anyone?
Small people. I used to work in a carnival, right? I used to run a zipper, and I remember putting these two people in one of the cars, and these guys were so huge, I actually literally had to jump on the freaking door to get it shut. And
well, you didn't
said,
put me in a zipper then.
Say what?
I said, you didn't put me in no zipper then.
Okay. I'm just saying,
that thing.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, these guys, what was I said, I asked the guy, I said, you sure you want to get in this thing? He was like, yeah. And then I shut the door and had to jump on it and get him in the freaking car. And I said,
yeah.
You okay? And he goes, yup. Go for it. And then he had his glasses were right against the screen, you know? I'm like, you sure? Oh, yeah. This is a rip. The only thing I hate about those things is when you run a zipper or any kind of a wheel or something that you have to have balance of weight, I'd always have these big people
yeah.
come up and get in the car. And then I'd have people behind him that were, like, skinny as a rail.
Yeah, toothpicks.
Well,
and I have to try and even
and the
it
thing's
out.
On the, yeah, so it's on a cable. Like a freaking yo-yo broke on one side. I had to sit there and have it a couple times where I got to run it up the other side, just hoping like hell it gets to the top first before it starts sliding back down. Because
wow.
it will.
Yeah.
It's all free-flowing.
Yeah.
Motors make it go where it's supposed to go, that kind of thing. But, yeah, your son is, like, one of those guys. I mean, seriously, is this girl, like, small?
they said she's like an inch from being considered a little person.
Oh, really? So she's one of those people, she doesn't come out of the closet, she comes out of the cabinet?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hey, no closet jokes.
I mean, I'm taller than her. I can look down on her.
The whole world. No, it's just one of those things. I'm just saying the idea of a situation you get. Certain people that are short, some people are fat, some people just insecure about all kinds of stuff, have a tendency to think they can control everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things, they look at them going, you know, I had a lady deal with me one time too. She was like, you know, I'm going through this stuff, and everything's going like this, and I'm going, I'm psychic, and you're full of shit, so give me my freaking money, you know? And they were like, you're all about the money, aren't you? I said, oh, so you're going to try that avenue, huh? When you're just a cheap ass. So just give the money up, look at the situation for what it is. It's like anything. Anytime you invest money in anything, when people have a tendency to look at it or what they're losing, they're focusing on lack of limitations instead of what they're investing in, and the idea of what they're looking for could change the whole format. But they're actually, it's most like, I want the answer, but they're going to put every freaking obstacle in the way to get it, and you. So you look at the situation, look at your son.
Mm-hmm.
In some sense of the word, it's like whatever she's saying, he knows it's full of shit. I think it's why he gets so at high rate when he's on the phone. Because he doesn't have the freaking backbone to do what he really wants to do.
No.
So he takes it out on everybody else concerned, except for the one he should.
And the only thing
I'm not condoning any kind of violence toward his wife.
No. But he should be honest and voiceful.
That's true too, sweetie. But one thing's going to happen in this situation too.
Mm-hmm.
If he's not allowed to vent and tell the truth of what he really wants to do, with that kind of out of control within himself,
mm-hmm.
One day I just feel like he will smack the shit out of her.
She probably deserves it, because I'm sorry. Now, I shouldn't say that, but I have caught her in lies, and it's always about how I am rude to her and ignore her.
But actually, it's the idea she wasn't listening.
Huh?
It's the idea when she says you're ignoring her. It's actually what's going on. She's not listening to you.
Yeah, she doesn't listen to me. She doesn't hear what I say.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to explain to her when they first got pregnant that I was making a pregnancy journal. And I thought it was such a cool freaking thing, you know, that she would fill out each month and put names and stuff on it, right? Well, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
That just sounds stupid.
Okay, well, maybe we should think about who's really stupid here.
And I held my
breath. I'm just saying, being that closed-minded,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's almost like, that's one thing I was trying to say, that I have a tough time with people in freaking Ohio. They all think they know every freaking thing in the world. They're all unhappy. But anytime you kind of suggest anything that might change their life where they could actually be happy, they want to tell you why you're wrong and why they're so justified by hanging on something they don't like.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting there going, you people make me tired. Hanging on to every freaking thing in your lives. At the same time, you're complaining to me how much you don't like it. But at the same time, you're justified. What?
Is it in the water there?
Is there any water where?
In Ohio. Is it in the water that they drink?
I do notice people start getting a more consciousness when they have a filter on their water. I'm serious. Because when I was in Circleville with my mom,
uh-huh.
She just got one. All she got was one of those pitchers
mm-hmm.
that you can actually do. And she said she couldn't believe the difference in how bad the freaking water was in that town, how bad it is. And she said what pisses her off is the idea of paying the god-awful water bills for what? Just to say we have water?
Yeah,
you know, it's a situation. And, yeah, let's, you know, the water there. It's like, and then she started getting the filters and stuff. And that was my first time to see my mom way before she got the filters, I think. She did have a tendency to exhibit kind of Alzheimer's or dementia,
mm-hmm.
and I've never seen her exhibit that anymore since she put the filters on the water. She has the filter pitchers and stuff like that. So, you know, it might sound crazy, it might sound funny in some sense of the word, but the water might be the issue because...
I asked you if it was in the water. You're telling me. I'm thinking it is. So get the filter.
Like, yeah, because every freaking woman that gets down there gets pregnant before she's 13. And you're like, okay, that's kind of a sick thing to even think about what's wrong with water on that one. But, you know, it's amazing how filtering units can actually work. And I think it's kind of funny that how the city justifies what they're doing or not, the lack of doing, in the process of building. Because have you ever been to any city? It seems like the electric will be lenient. If you have gas, they're lenient. They have a chance to let you go for a while. But when that water bill is due, there is no freaking grace period. I've seen people where it's 2 days after the water. After you haven't paid the water, 2 days later, no water.
Wow.
Simple that. So it's like, you know, when I see situations like that, it's like I was down here and I got my last electric bill. I was so appalled and so angry with it because I had not changed one thing in 4 months. But as soon as they clarify it as actually being winter, my bill jumped almost $60. I was like, well, I'm going to move into this one place and you can pay it because I'm not paying it. And then I had this situation with a lot of people sitting there going, but you have a lease. You should be doing this. And you know, no. Don't let the world dictate your success because everything they have is set in place because of their own insecurities. If you keep feeding into it, you just have the tendency to tap into your own insecurities. You'll never get nowhere. When you start making decisions on what's best for you, because, see, a lease is meant to be something that covers both parties, not just one.
No,
if you ever know slam laws and that kind of stuff,
yeah,
they all want to sit there and go, this is the way it is, and you're supposed to do this. Nope, I don't. We will sue you. You know something? You didn't get $540 out of me. Well, you're going to get 10. You know?
Yeah. No,
it's just I think it's just ridiculous because actually the law says that you cannot make money off a crime. But you see people doing it all the time. They're called late fees. They just have a tendency to justify it. You see that?
Yeah.
So therefore, I moved because of my insanity. I would have shot everybody. So see, I actually saved them all by moving. Because...
Yeah.
So, see, it's the ideal of looking for the solution. And they're always looking for ways to make more money and the point of making everybody else suffer. Because that's what my landlord was talking about, the guy upstairs. He's like, I want to keep him here because he has a six-month lease. And once the six-month lease is up, then I can sue him for the whole thing. I said, they haven't paid in 3 months. Okay, what makes you think if you can't get $500, if you can't get $500 from these people per month, what makes you think you're going to go sue them for $10,000? I said, the logic behind that, see, this, when people start putting money to the forefront, people really start acting really illogical. It's not logic at all. It's the idea of the situation. I always said, I mean, maybe it's just me. I always look at situations that we can attract and manifest anything. So when I see people doing things like that, that infringes on other people's rights to get money, I know they're in the wrong. Since they're in the wrong, I have to correct the situation because I'm in that situation too. And it's affecting me. I noticed my income, you know, was going up until we started having this crazy situation with the freaking neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
It was affecting everything because they were getting away with it, and the rest of us had to deal with them who wasn't paying any rent. And then when they implied they did pay the rent, it's amazing how they would come downstairs, you're being too noisy. And I was like, yeah, you're being, never mind. Okay, fine, I'll turn the thing down. So I just kind of looked at the situation and go, okay, thank you. I just made my mind up, and this is what I'm going to do. And then people using the idea of being sorry or being hurt. That's what my landlord told the manager. He said, he's really hurt because you left. I said, well, tell him to stop being hurt and look at the situation. But I wrote him a letter on how bad the freaking neighbors were, and I even told you, get them the hell out of here because they're affecting my work. And what did you do? I want my rent. Why are you behind the rent? Pretty self-explanatory. I can't even say it. Pretty explanatory, dumbass. I already told you that my freaking everything was being affected by the people upstairs playing fetch with their stupid-ass dog at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm hoping that's what it was. I'm hoping it wasn't some kind of cocaine thing. Anyway. But anyway, you know, look at Martha. She's having convulsions. Give her another hit. Anyway. I was sitting there, and it's just one of those things that you got to make a decision because it's like I have a business, so therefore I'm a corporation. And I think everybody should look at themselves just in the same way. What is good for my corporation? What benefits my corporation? Because if you look at it that way, there are certain people you won't let back in your life because it's affecting the outcome of your life. We do the same thing when it comes to people taking things from us. If somebody rests us off, we don't associate with them anymore. So why do we have a tendency to associate with people who have a tendency to do mean things to us in any kind of manner? You know, we can still love those people. Say, I love you. but I would love for you to be across the room or across the country or just something with the situation. It's not the ideal. It's like if they don't do what they got to do or what they should do, I'm just saying make decisions accordingly and just say, hey, you know something? I got to distance myself from you. I can't deal with it. I've had to do it a couple of times because of doing readings for some friends who just wouldn't stop, and it started causing really bad migraines. So if I keep continuing with these people in my life and everything that happens afterwards, to me, migraines, whatever, it's my own fault because I know exactly what they're going to do. Now, if they come back in my life and they've changed their life dramatically, of course, we should always keep our minds open to say, yeah, he's changed his life pretty good. He's actually respectful when I say, I don't want to talk right now. Could you go home? And he doesn't have a problem doing it. You know, those kind of things. But I've had to deal with people, too, who just, right now I can't figure out the ideal. Somebody's pranking me, and I can't really pick up on who it is. It's almost like they're keeping themselves just at arm's length. Like, just can't see what it is.
But they're pranking you?
Yeah, the person keeps saying, can I call me? I'm saying, I'm Jane. I came to your shop. I did this. I did that. Can you talk to me? I need help. I'm lonely. I'm sorry, when people start doing that kind of stuff, I have a tendency to really do some protection and watching and stuff.
Yeah.
But I've actually had to deal with stalkers before, and I can understand why people come out with the stalking thing, but because they have a tendency to keep themselves just out of reach, which really it's really intimidating because you can never find them or get a hold of them.
You know, I had a stalker. You may not believe it because I'm from Pennsylvania.
Okay.
But I had a stalker. I never got to see him, though. Everybody else saw him drive down past our place, and he would, like, stop at the end of my driveway and look back to see if he could see me. But, yeah, I did have one.
Yeah, so that continuous thing, because, you know.
And I had another one then. Huh?
No, I'm just saying the situation drives you crazy.
I had another stalker, and he lives down the road.
He what?
He lives right down the road. He would come up through the woods and sit in the woods and watch me.
People with confrontation, they don't want to have that confrontation. I always say confrontation is the ideal of interacting with the world. Have some balance, my friend, because I have a tendency to look with the public all the time, and I disappear. Because I have time for myself.
I was going to put a shingle out and say, card readings, $15 at the end of my driveway.
Mm-hmm.
I think I could make some money. Brian said,
oh,
no.
Yeah, me too.
Brian said, not my road, not on our road. Brian, my husband, not on our road. His family is part of a religious cult.
See, that's what I'm saying. Religions have a tendency they don't realize they're a cult themselves. Because realistically, if you look in the dictionary, a cult is a religious sect. It doesn't specify what it is. It just says it's a religious sect. And if you look at some of the religions that actually base it on Christianity, Islam, those people like that, they have a tendency to justify their actions, what they do to others. So I try to tell my mom, I said, just because you own property and you go to church and all this other stuff does not give you the right to control the people's lives. And tell them that they're wrong and how they're pursuing their lives. And you think it is. You're thinking if I stay with you for a period of time, that you have the right to control my whole freaking aspect of what I should do with my life. I can understand having rules and regulations within your house. But I said, you know, it's one of the things where she's a contradiction. She'll give my nephew a key to the door so he can come in almost anytime he wants to because he works. I said, well, I want a key to the door.
But you worked when you were there, too.
Yes, that's the thing, but see, that there's a difference in the ideal work.
You're getting to leave the house.
I need to leave the house because, I mean, right now what I do after I get out of the show here, I'll take a walk. To unwind, get, you know, just like kind of like a clearing, it's a cleansing and a kind of stuff.
Yeah, you always did that.
Yeah, so, you know, I sit there and do that. When I was with my mom's, it was like, you got to be back at a certain time. I tried to sleep in about the whole thing, right? But I have a tendency, I go to the gym, I like to talk. So I have a tendency to get in conversation and that kind of stuff. Like, oh, shoot. My mom's like, he said he's going to be here in 15 minutes. What happened? I said, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
and she's like, I said, I'm sorry, Mom. I understand that. So I got a conversation. But see, it's like, oh, see, some people in their situations, they're set, they don't really, she knows what I do. She
mm-hmm.
knows where I was. And it was one of the situations, she's just having a little bit of leniency with the situation. But she didn't want to do that. She wanted to control the whole aspect because she had somebody try to break in her house one time. Okay, and she's sitting there going, someone tried to break in my house. I said, okay. She goes, that's why I don't want you going out there, because someone might try to break them out again. I said, Mom, I'm just thinking about this for a minute and pondering and saying, somebody tried to break in your house, but they didn't do it, did they? She goes, no. That's a really good door and a good lock. Okay, so your excuse for me not going out doesn't make any sense. You just proved to me that the door works. Very good, very good and secure door. So why can't I really not go out? Because I said so. Now we finally hear the truth. Now I deal with the situation. And I said, okay, I understand that, Mom, but you know something? Right now, the way things are, I'm an adult and you're an adult. So therefore, forget the mother and son thing. We have to find neutral ground here in the idea of respect for both. And she said, well, that's the way it is. My rules are, you know, you can just deal with it. I said, I can understand the rules, and they're for the protect, but yours is just controlling. You know, it's the ideal. You're trying to, like, there for a while, she would always have me do odd jobs. I painted her shed, fixed it, got it all powered up and everything like that, replaced the roof on the whole thing. And it wasn't because she really needed these things done. It was her sneaky way of showing me that I have skills.
She's in control.
Yeah. She's in control, but she's also controlling the situation, thinking, I might like actually putting roofs on and painting and all other stuff, but it's
mm-hmm.
what she really wants me to do. So, yeah, it's a form of control.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, thanks, Mom, but you owe me $500.
Yeah.
And then I worked at my brother's house for almost 6 months. I've never seen people do that kind of damage to somebody's house. This was a full house with a full basement.
Mm-hmm.
And we took some toxic stuff out of that freaking basement.
Wow.
So I was sitting there talking about certain things like that, too. And I just came in the situation on a business note and said, okay, Mom, I painted the house, the whole house. We did the floors. You know, we did some caulking and stuff on the roof. We took 2 months. This was kind of funny because they actually had people come in there professionally to take the trash out and refuse to take the rest of the trash out because they wanted more money because they didn't plan the job right. They didn't estimate right. I said, sorry, Mom, but once you agree to do something, then you're going to take a loss on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I turned and said, so I told her, so we took out toxic waste for 2 months, painted the house. I mean, just the toxic waste and people coming and doing it. I said it'd be $2,000. Then he said, to paint the whole house, that's another $2,000. Repairs and that kind of stuff, probably another $1,500. And then the floors and stuff like that, and just some of the craziness of the stuff that was going on because they had put some kind of crazy stuff on the walls and stuff where they had to paint over them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, so I told my friend of mine, I was like, I want to go back to Colorado. So I was sitting there, and they had a tendency to be a little bit flighty. So I said, okay, well, this is what I want. I'm not going to charge you any big prices. I'm going, all I want is $500 and a ticket back to Colorado. Okay, it was when I sit there, and that's what I try to tell the other caller, too.
Mm-hmm.
When you make your mind up and you tell yourself right then and there, you deserve it, be prepared for what's going to happen in a very positive way. And that's what I did. I said, tell my mom that, and she said, well, we'll think about it. And I said, okay, no problem. So about a couple of days later, I just sat there and said, you know something? I went to Colorado the first time. It didn't cost me anything. And I deserved it. I deserve it again. And I won.
You know, Vicki?
I don't know if Vicki's here.
That laugh that I brought with me the other night.
Oh, yeah.
She said she made it so far. Her car broke down. She got a backpack out, and she caught rides.
Oh, yeah. I was in there talking to my friend today, and I told her, I said, you know something? I guess I could be in a situation where something would happen. I would sit there, walk up to the highway to hitchhike and go, okay, God, where are we going today?
Uh-huh.
You know, kind of let the resistance down and say, okay, let's go. And I knew for a fact there was some shady people that picked me up. But they didn't do anything to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they didn't do anything to me. Coming from point A to point B. So I was like, you know, when you put it out there, don't be surprised what happens in the situation. Because a lot of people are too focused on individuals and say, that person's shady. I don't think I want to do this. Not realizing it could still be an avenue to obtain your goal, what you want. My mom is a pain in the ass. My brother, not too far from it. And when you look at the situations, if I sit here and go, well, I don't want to deal with these people. I don't even want to ask them for anything. I just want to get the hell out of here. I could have missed the perfect opportunity. Because, you know, it's the idea of have worth. I have worth. I did exactly what I was supposed to do. But it also helps people understand that I had all these jobs throughout my whole life. I couldn't figure out, okay, if these wasn't supposed to be my destiny, then what ever called these freaking jobs? Until I got there. You know? And realized I had the skills to paint the house, clean the trash, the motivation to do it all done, because some people come in there and didn't do half what they were supposed to do. And then somebody came in and stole all the pipes. Someone came in and took all the copper pipes out, down to the freaking main. And I told my brother, I said, this is the way it is, brother. I said, I can put your pipes back in. The only thing I don't have is an outline. What do you call those things? Schematics?
Blueprint?
The blueprint. So how those pipes were put in there, because they took everything out.
Yeah.
Even up to the hot water tank, everything. There was nothing to go by. And then they actually took, my brother was freaking out because they actually took the copper line for every freaking thing, even the freaking dryer, the dryer hookup.
The hookups in that for the washer, yeah. And
then we found out they also took out wiring out of the house.
Oh, jeez.
They basically stripped the whole freaking house. Then we found out later on it was the guy who came in to clean the trash up out of there.
Uh-huh.
So he wouldn't give him any more freaking money because he already gave him an extension and gave him more money, and then the guy came back for more money. And then my brother said, finally, he said, you know something, I'm not here to help you out with your freaking drug problem. I can't pay you no more. So we have a funny feeling because the side door was nailed shut. Because he nailed the door shut. He also did certain things in the house to make sure no one break in the house and steal the pipes. My brother was like, why would he say that? All he had to do was just, I locked the house up for you so it's safe.
Yeah.
And secure.
Yeah.
He didn't do that. He said, so nobody would take the pipes. I said, Mom, you know what happened there. The dumbass felt like he didn't get the right kind of money, so he went in there and
he took
everything in there to equal the $300 he thought he was owed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more than that, too, though.
Oh, more likely, yeah, because, I mean, she was like, I think in Ohio, it's like $2 or $3 a pound.
Mm-hmm.
So I was sitting there going, I said, well, you know, the whole thing goes on. So, I mean, in that situation, I could have been a little intimidated by the whole thing because my mom, my brother already spent all this freaking money, but I still went in there and said, no, just because they made mistakes and the people they trusted to do the whole thing doesn't mean I didn't do my job and I wasn't in the right.
Yeah. Well, I still...
Was that you?
Moving?
Yeah,
totally. Does believe us?
No, Heather's not there because her phone died and her laptop's going, I can only hang on for a little bit longer. It's okay.
You guys are no freaking fun at all. What happened to fun, Donnie?
Well, we had fun for 2 hours. Well, now we're in overtime.
I know, but we used to Skype all night long, too. And chit-chat and have fun.
That's true. I'm just saying, I got to go off and do some things myself. I got some little things I got to do, but...
Well, maybe I'm feeling a little jealous, you know. You go off the air forever.
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
You're not sorry.
On Friday, we'll have everything charged up so we can have fun as long as you want.
Go ahead, on Friday.
Anyway.
He really had me so upset. I knew that you had shows, but he had me, and I just kept thinking... What did I do to him? And I'm thinking...
I don't think it's the idea what you've done to him. I think it's what everybody else has done. He wants to blame you.
Well, he said that, you know, I was a horrible mother. And I'm looking back thinking, I was a good mother. I wasn't perfect. Nobody is. But I treated him.
No, I think, you look at the guy and go, I'm sorry, but... You were too small to actually see the real thing, so therefore, how can I really take your insight?
Yeah, I should have, you know, should have, could have, would have, but didn't, you know. But no,
that's
as long as you think he's going to change.
I'm just saying, I knew my situation, too. I started to look at the situation and stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. And my mom, I didn't really notice all this. I mean, I didn't really appreciate a lot of that stuff until way after the fact, you know?
Yeah.
So when I saw the whole thing, I get the impression he is going to change. But he needs to be realistically...
Well, he ain't going to be married to her real long. I don't see them married very long.
Me neither.
Thank you.
I'm unmuted now.
Did she draw something?
Hi.
How are you?
I just got back home, actually.
Okay, well, I can't hear you.
I had to walk my dog.
Oh, you lost your dog?
Yeah. What are you guys doing? Are you still chatting away?
Yes, but I was actually fixing to go because I got an appointment at 10:30.
Chatting.
I got like
you guys
10 minutes.
Just when I come into my house, I get unmuted. How's that for a joke?
Well, keep laughing and then come back Friday and we'll clear it up for you.
And we'll see you Friday. You're not going to do one Thursday?
I might.
You should.
If I do, I'll
put everybody in a good mood.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, you're in a good mood.
Okay, thanks.
It's good
well,
to have
it
you.
Up.
So, thank you, Heather. Thank you, Donnie.
All your people. Beautiful people.
Uh-huh. Okay, thank you. Thank you guys for showing up, too. And just, I know we're going to be here Friday and Saturday, so show for that one. I might do it well on Thursday, too. I've been
you might
on.
Don't
Thursday.
Disappear for, like, another... Don't disappear on us again before letting us know.
That
oh,
is
I won't.
So
right.
All right?
No, that's just... Don't worry. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Okay,
well,
thank
we'll
you.
See.
Yeah, thank
we'll
you, guys.
You
so much fun.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Good night.